Everyone, welcome to Sunday School. As you know, we have another guest today. We're honored to have Brother Andrew Montoro and his family with us. So he's going to lead Sunday School this morning. And so at this time, just come on up, Brother Andrew, and podium's yours.
I think we got it on.
All right. Well, it is a privilege to be here at Bethel Baptist Church, and we're just thankful for the opportunity to be here, and also just want to say thank you to the church for your faithful prayers and for your support and encouragement, and just want to, even in Sunday School this morning, give more of a testimony of what we're doing and what the Lord is doing at Community Baptist Church there in Riverhead, and what the goal is, what we want to see the Lord do, what God wants to see us be able to do. And so I'd encourage you, turn in your Bibles to Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3, we're going to be in the last couple verses there of the chapter, verses number 12 through 15. Paul's final closing of the book of Titus, and just I preached through the book of Titus last summer, and just focused on this order in the church. And when I got here, it was a blessing to me, a blessing to the church, and I believe it'll tie together, and let us just talk a little bit about what the Lord is doing and what we want to see the Lord do and continue to do there at Community Baptist Church. And so if you're there in Titus chapter 3, say amen. Okay, and so verse number 12, Paul is concluding his letter to Titus, and he says, when I shall send Artemis unto thee, or Tychicus, be diligent to come unto me in Nicopolis, for I have determined there to winter. Bring Zenas the lawyer and Apollos on their journey diligently, that nothing be wanting unto them. And let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. All that are with me salute thee. Greet them that love us in the faith. Grace be with you all. Amen. And just, it's the mission of Community Baptist Church. So let's just have a quick word of prayer, and then we'll get into the Word of God and what the Lord is doing. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning and just the privilege to be here, the privilege to open up your Word. Lord, the privilege to do the work that you've called us to do. I pray, Lord, that you would encourage us this morning, that you would challenge us from your Word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. Just, we want to let you know, as you have been praying for us and you've been encouraging and supporting us there at Riverhead, and it's a blessing to be here. I was here in August of 2019 and was able, on a Wednesday night, and was able to present and say what the Lord is doing, and my family has grown, and the Lord blessed me with a wife, and now we have an 11-week-old daughter. And it's amazing when you go visiting someone with a little baby, you always get invited in. It's a great ministry tool. And so, but we're thankful for how the Lord is working. And just some exciting news. Just on Wednesday night, we had a lady get saved. Miss Bonnie Sue, she'd been coming off and on. Her mother had gotten a door hanger on her door back during COVID. We were out just putting out door hangers. She called up the church. We were giving her a ride to the church for months and months. She was praying for her. You've got to pray for my daughter. And so then she started coming, and she had gone to a Southern Baptist church as a little girl and then left the church, kind of got off and doing her own thing. And as we were talking about it, she realized, they didn't tell me anything about the Word of God there. They just said, do you want to get saved? Okay, do this. She didn't understand the gospel, and by God's grace, she prayed and asked Jesus Christ to save her a Wednesday night before the service, and she said, when I get baptized, all my family's going to be there. That'll make a Baptist get excited right there, so continue to pray, because now the work begins to grow and to disciple. But the mission of Community Baptist Church is to serve the Lord there and see the work of the Lord continue. And just to understand where we are in this chapter in the book of Titus, chapter 3, as Paul is closing, to understand what Paul is commanding Titus to do, we need to get a little greater context of what is actually going on in the book of Titus.
is, see, Paul had left Titus there in Crete. If we go all the way back to chapter 1, don't worry, we're not going to preach all 20 sermons, okay, that is going to get us to this point. But we will do need the context, because everything has a context and a reason for what, and explains what Paul is saying here, what God is saying. Paul had left Titus, his preacher son, just like Timothy. Titus and Timothy would have been, we would say, maybe Bible college students together in the ministry of Paul there, serving the Lord, being trained by Paul. And Paul had left Titus on the island of Crete for this purpose, to set things in order. To set things in order, to help the churches be what God had called them to be. There were some things that needed to be set in order. If we go back to chapter 1, the first thing to get churches in order, the first thing was Timothy, or Titus, I'm going to probably say Timothy just because, but Titus, you know who I'm talking about, had to ordain godly leadership. The first thing that Paul deals with is you need to have the right type of leadership. You're to ordain in every church elders. That's talking about pastors. That's talking about those who could lead the churches and to teach the churches. Why? Because the very next section, Paul deals, there's false doctrine that is going to become. There's false teachers that are around and that are already influencing people in the church. By the way, there's plenty of false doctrine around today, and you're going to be in contact with it. Not just people who are outside the church deal with false doctrine. The false doctrine of the world confronts every one of us, and we need, the reason there needs to be godly leadership is so there can be a proper biblical addressing of the false doctrine so that the churches can be in order, so that the church can be what God has called it to be. And so Titus had to set things order in the church by ordaining the godly leadership, dealing with false doctrine, and by reinforcing sound doctrine. And that's what chapter 2 is really about, is Paul is saying, this is the sound doctrine that needs to be taught in this church. The end of chapter 2 says, these things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Okay, our authority is on the Word of God, nothing else. When we say what God has said, we can just say, this is what God says. But there needs to be the authority. It needs to be taught. Titus had been personally trained by Paul. He had the Word of God. Therefore, he knew what he needed to teach. He didn't need to come up with anything new. He didn't need to follow the latest ideas and trends, but he needed to teach and reinforce the sound doctrine. How many of us have to review some things? They say, if you don't use it, you lose it. How many have a password you haven't used in 6 months and you promptly forgot it? It's not that it's not important. It's not that you don't want to remember it. But if you don't review it, if you don't keep it refreshed in your mind, if you don't use it on a regular basis, it gets stored in the never-never land of your brain. Why is commanding Titus to reinforce that sound doctrine, keep teaching? Most of the New Testament epistles are written for this purpose, to put you in remembrance, to remind you of what has already been taught, to remember when I was there, Paul would say how many times to different churches, remember what I taught you. You need to have that in your mind. And through it, he was saying, Titus was to set in order the things in the church, because sound doctrine must lead to sound living. That's what chapter 2 is about. That no matter your age, no matter your culture, no matter the time in which you live, there's been a call to live biblically. There's been a call to live a holy life. And through chapter 2, he talks about, hey, young men, older men, aged ladies, younger ladies. And said you need to be serious about serving God. That every part of your life needs to be under the influence of the Holy Spirit. There needs to be sound speech that cannot be condemned. There needs to be sound speaking, sound living in every area of your life. Really, the entire theme of Titus is right doctrine and right duty. If you like alliteration, you could put it that way. Right doctrine and right duty. I didn't come up with that, but it's a nice way of explaining it. That everything in the book of Titus that Paul is trying to get Titus to teach to the churches, you need to think right and you need to act right. You need to think biblically, you need to act biblically. By the way, God has given us clear instruction on what a church of Jesus Christ should look like. Okay, there's a difference between a church of Jesus Christ and everything else around here that calls itself a church. And if it's going to be Jesus' church, we have our instructions, we have our order manual that we need to follow, and it needs to have uncompromised biblical doctrine. And though we will never be perfect, that is the understatement of the week, it's God's grace that we live out what God has commanded us to do. God has not commanded us to do something that is impossible. Well, in our own effort it is, but God has commanded us, and then He's given us His grace that is available. He giveth more grace. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that the grace and the wisdom we need to live for God is there, so that we can behave like Christ, so we can live out sound doctrine, no matter our age, no matter our culture. And in fact, if you go back to verses 8 through 11 of chapter 3, he's saying, avoid, this is a faithful saying, affirm constantly. That means keep preaching it every Sunday. Tell the elders that you're setting up in the churches, keep preaching it. Keep preaching sound doctrine. And verse number 9, avoid foolish questions and contentions and strivings. And I use this illustration. Does it pass the smell test and does it pass the taste test of what does this doctrine, does what this type of teaching produces, is where this is going, does it pass a spiritual smell test and taste test? Is it rotten? Is it something that is going to lead us in the right direction or lead us in the wrong direction? We need to, Paul is saying, Titus, things need to be in order. They need to be biblical. They need to be in line. The idea there in a regiment where something is in line, something is in dress formation, if something's out of line, it's out of line. It's not in sound doctrine. It's not in order. But when things are in order, it's where God has commanded it to be. Paul was writing to Titus to say, make sure you set the churches in order. Well, what was the main purpose of that? What is the purpose of that? Was it just so that the churches at Crete could be model churches that others could look at and they could say, wow, Titus is doing a great job? Well, the church needs to be in order because Paul's commanding that. But the greatest purpose is not just to be an example to other churches. There is purpose there, but that's not the greatest purpose. Were they supposed to be able to be considered successful churches? Churches that were doing well in attendance, churches that were supporting their own pastor, churches that, you know, that is a successful church. They have a building now, things are doing well. Well, they needed to succeed. They needed to move forward. But from our verses our text 12 through 15, that's not the primary purpose of having sound doctrine and having sound living, to have a right way. That was not the primary purpose that Paul had sent Titus there to set the church in order. The primary purpose of having the churches on Crete in order, it's because there's a much greater mission than just that church. There is that church, but there's a greater mission that each church of Jesus Christ together is to participate in. And the reason that the churches needed to have sound doctrine, the reasons that the church needed to have sound living, is so that they could further reach out and further participate in the great commission that God had called them to do. Because the Church of Jesus Christ, it has this calling on it. This is our marching orders. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them all things whatsoever commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Is not that our marching orders, is to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is what the purpose of the church is to reach the world. That is our marching orders. When, just to tell a little bit of the story of Community Baptist Church. Community Baptist Church was started in 2010, and things seemed to be going well under the founding pastor there. I did not start the church, but the Lord called him to the founding pastor to another ministry, and during that time, those who had been attending but were not members, there was about 70 people attending, but there was only 17 members. And so there was a good group of people who enjoyed the preaching, who enjoyed the services, but they didn't want to really get involved. They didn't want to really get on board with Baptist teaching and with Baptist doctrine. And so when the pastor left, most of those people left. And then some of the people called in a friend of theirs who happened to be a Bible church pastor, which isn't a Baptist pastor. And so some of the doctrine began to get more and more confused. And there was about 30 people that were there still attending the services. And my dad and I at Open Door, about 2 hours west of where Community Baptist Church is in Astoria, Queens, heard that they were in need of a pastor. And so my dad said, go out there, preach on a Sunday morning, just see what's going on. I told him, well, there was about 25, 30 people there this morning. And so there was a group, and my dad came out on Wednesday nights. He drove 2 hours every Wednesday night to go out and start meeting with the church members. And here's what he did. He looked over the church constitution and said, we need to update this. We need to put things in order. With sound, that's what he was doing. And said, so they started meeting with the church members, and just when they voted to adopt the new constitution that had was much more clear on biblical Baptist doctrine, the man who had been the head deacon resigned and moved away, made a pretty big stink about it. So by the time that they called me to be the pastor, there was 5 people left. I say, praise the Lord, because I was single at the time, and that was probably almost more than I could handle at the time. And what I did is I said, praise the Lord, there was an experienced man of God who came in and began to set things in order and began to put things the way that they needed to be to give a foundation to be able to build the church on sound doctrine and sound teaching and do it God's way. And got to move out there and started pastoring the church, and we're still on missionary support, and we're still trying to see that the church is helping in some ways. They're paying our rent for our house, which is a blessing, and trying to teach and lead that direction. The goal is for the church to be self-supporting one day. Lord willing, soon. That is the prayer. That is the goal. We've been teaching, and I've been preaching on the King James Bible, on Baptist doctrine. We did a whole series on Baptist distinctives. We're going through in Sunday school the ABCs of Christian growth, and I told them, get ready, after Easter, we're going through Baptist history, and I'm getting excited about that and want to teach that. There is a difference, but what are we trying to do? We're trying to help the people understand what Bible teaching, what Baptist doctrine is, that there is a difference. There is a purpose that is there. Slowly, there's been people who've been coming to church. They've been bringing their ESV because that's what they've been given. And talking to them about it and keep preaching about it, they bought a King James Bible. They didn't even tell me about it. So my wife told me, you know, they got new Bibles and they're carrying King James. And I want to say, that'll get a Baptist excited. Praise the Lord. The lady who got saved, she asked, what type of Bible do I need to get? I didn't even have to argue with her about it. It was great. It was praise the Lord. But it's not going to be a fast process. We want the Word of God to be what convinces people, not just because I said it, but because they understand. No, this is what the Bible says. And but we're teaching sound doctrine. That is the purpose, so that we can fulfill the mission that God has called us to do. Because let's look back at our text. When I shall send Artemis unto thee, and Tychicus, be diligent to come unto me in Nicopolis, for I have determined there to winter. Bring Zenas the lawyer and Apollos on their journey diligently, that nothing be wanting unto them. See, Paul commanded Titus He's like, you need to come and join me in Nicopolis there. You need to come. I'm wintering there. And I'm going to send a replacement. He said, when Artemis unto thee, or Tychicus, when a replacement comes, then you come, come and join me. We really don't know anything about Artemis. We do know that Tychicus was a companion of Paul in the book of Acts. He was called a beloved brother, a faithful minister in the Lord in Ephesians chapter 2. Apparently, both these men were preachers of the gospel and were young men that Paul had trained, just like Titus, even though we don't know as much about them. And so Paul was saying, I'm going to send a man to be there, and then you come and join me. Be diligent, be zealous about it, be eager. I'm going to winter here in a city that many believe would be near Corinth, where Paul could have continued working with that church. He was to join them there. Now, this teaches us several things about the work of the Lord. Number one, Paul thought that the work could be completed. He said, I'm going to call you back, Titus. I've left you there to set things in order, but I'm expecting by the time I send somebody to replace you, you will have set some things in order. That that mission that I placed you there will be done. He'd been left there to ordain pastors capable of leading the individual flocks, the individual churches forward. Paul didn't think this was an impossible task. He's like, I've let you here. You're going to come and join me. The purpose and the mission that God has given us, and to see Community Baptist Church become that self-supporting through God's grace and through God's ability, it is possible. But also this, it's not all dependent upon just one person. There was other men who were serving right along Paul, right along Titus. There was other ministers who were going to be working there in the churches at Crete. It wasn't just Titus. It wasn't just Paul. There was a number of other people who were serving along, participating together, who had the right doctrine, who had the right teaching, who were participating in the work of the Lord. But also this, once Titus finished there, there was more work to do. Paul wasn't calling Titus, come over here and winter with me because we need a vacation and we need to slow down. You've done your work. It's time to retire. No, Paul was on a mission to preach in places where Christ had not yet been named and to build up new foundations and to continue pressing forward. By the way, today the world's population is closing in on 8 billion people. The work of the ministry, the work that God has called us to do is the amount of work is growing, and areas that used to be, we would say, the Bible Belt and different things like that in our country are not what it used to be. You can meet many people, even here in the United States, who've never been into any type of church in their life, let alone a good church, any type of church, who never have heard the story of Jesus Christ. There's people like that growing up right here in America. Can I tell you this? There is a lot more work that needs to do, that needs to be done. But Paul is emphasizing in these closing remarks, trying to help Titus establish everything. You need to get stuff set so you can come and rejoin me. Paul is telling Titus, I want you to help the churches on Crete learn how to help others who are serving the Lord. He commanded Titus, when Apollos and Zenas come, you're supposed to help them. Bring Zenas, the lawyer, and Apollos on their journey diligently. Okay, number two. Once again, we saw that Paul's not the only one. Paul was not the only missionary team traveling. There was Barnabas and Mark who were traveling. Apparently, Apollos and Zenas were also a missionary team that were traveling. They were faithfully preaching the gospel. This Apollos would be the one who Aquila and Priscilla had taken aside in Acts chapter 18 and expounded the word of God more perfectly. Hey, you're zealous about the things of God, but you need some sound doctrine. You need to grow in this area. And so they instructed him more perfectly in the Word of God. And he got excited about the things of God. And he got right about that. And so he was assisting in starting more churches and building up churches. And the churches at Crete were commanded by Paul to assist these servants of God on their journey. What does that mean? It was helping them. This is talking about helping missionaries right here. That's what it's talking about. On their journey is literally means this, to assist someone in making their journey, to send one on their way with food, money, by making, by arranging for companions to travel with them, diligently, by being conscientious in discharging a duty or obligation. Diligently. You need to be, this is what Paul's telling Titus, you need to be diligent, you need to be zealous about helping those who are serving God keep being able to serve God. That nothing be wanting unto them. That means to be without lack. It has this idea, they could be if you don't do what you need to do. They could have not have what they need if the churches of Jesus Christ that you're supposed to be training to do this, you don't learn it automatically. Titus was to teach them to do this, to help them. How many know the verse in 3 John? I have no greater joy than to hear my children walk in truth. Beloved, the next verse is, beloved, that thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers. Part of the context of I have no greater joy than hearing my children walk in truth was that hearing that the churches that John had started were helping other missionaries and helping the Word of God, that they were sharing the love and the work of Jesus Christ, that they were participating by helping other missionaries and helping the Word of God go forth. I thank the Lord just for the provision here by Bethel Baptist Church. Thank you for providing for us and the meal and all of that that you do. You are doing the work of the ministry. You are helping the work of the ministry go forward. I want to say thank you and praise the Lord for that. And part of what I want to see Community Baptist Church do, part of the reason why we need to set things in order, is so Community Baptist Church can help others. It's not just about Community Baptist Church growing and we could become self-supporting. Praise the Lord. That is what we are striving to do, but the purpose of that is so we can help in the greater mission that God has called us to do by supporting more missionaries and having other missionaries come in and helping them on their way and helping them move forward and have what they need. Paul said, let ours also, verse number 14, let ours also learn to maintain good works. Let them understand. And the implication is taking place less through instruction than through experience or practice. Let them participate in helping others. This is what the church is new. Let them learn to maintain good works. Even though things were being set in order, Paul was giving a final reminder to keep things in order. They need to learn how to maintain and live according to sound doctrine and do what God has called them to do, so that there's a need of teaching and practical explanation so they could learn, even though they've heard the truths before. There needs to be continual teaching in the Word of God. There's a lot of people who may know about the Bible, but they are biblically illiterate. And one of the things that the Lord really convicted me about when I became the pastor of Community Baptist Church, we were talking with some of those who were members and some of those who had used to had been members in the past and had left the church, and we were trying to talk to them and others who had attended the church. And I was, they don't know why we use the King James Bible. They know a pastor does. They don't know the difference. They don't know about closed communion. They don't. And if you go to 2 Timothy, where Paul tells Timothy, you know, teach them who could be able to teach others also. I'm not quoting it exactly. Let me just do that real quick so I say it right. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Who is the responsibility? It's on Titus. And the Lord convicted me. If they don't know it, it's because I need to teach them. I need to explain it. And by the way, it's not going to be just one series. It's going to be continual reminding and continual teaching and allow the Word of God to work so that they be not unfruitful. The idea there is useless, unproductive, unfruitful. What is the purpose of planting a crop? So that the fruit comes in. And the purpose of teaching, we want to see people get saved, and we want to see people, once they get saved, get into church and continue to help others do that. The soul that got saved this week, that is fruit that abounds to your account, because you are helping the work of the Lord go forward at Community Baptist Church. And what my prayer is for Community Baptist Church, wait a second. We want to see that and be able to help that with others. We want to get things established and grown. We want to get things in order, and we're continuing to preach. We're going through the book of Daniel and talking about right eschatology, right, going through the prophecies of Daniel. I was joking with one of my friends. I got to preach tonight about a bear with three ribs in its mouth and a leopard with four wings on it. Sci-fi has nothing on the Bible. Some people read that and they go, the Bible's really hard to understand. But if you just explain it, okay, that's, wow. 500 years before Jesus Christ was born, there was actually a time period that was telling us this is the one the Messiah is going to come. With the 70 weeks of Daniel, was explaining everything. And we could say this, hey, you can trust the Word of God, because the same God who wrote that, and be able to teach and be able to instruct in that, so that Community Baptist Church can be fruitful in the greater ministry that God has called us to. You know the reason why Bethel Baptist Church needs to be more involved in missions and more moving forward with that and growing in that? So that you can be fruitful and participating in the greater ministry that God has called you to do. If we're going to fulfill the mission that God has called us to do, and how many would agree there is a great need? I'm just going to tell you a little bit about Suffolk County, where I am on Long Island. Suffolk County has about 1.5 million people, and there's more and more people moving out from the city. The housing market has exploded where we are. A three-bedroom house, two-bath house could probably go over $500,000 where we are. And that's not on a lot of land. I mean, the church is renting for us a beautiful, I mean, the Lord just provided. We have our own little house. It's about 500 square feet, two bedroom. It is, praise the Lord, it is great. It is just perfect for what we need. We're able to invite people over. We have an English class with a Spanish family every weekend or every Friday night there. We've had people that we're trying to witness to over to the house. It is a blessing that we have a house, not just an apartment. To buy that house would be over $300,000 where we are. It's a crazy, crazy expensive, crazy rich. There's a lot of money where we are. But you know what? There's a great need for churches. You can go the whole way out, over 30 miles to the end of the North Fork where Orient is. There's not a single good church the whole way out. You could go from where our Community Baptist Church is located, just on the North Fork of Riverhead, and on the North Shore of Long Island, all the way back to the East River where my dad's church is. There's not a single church you can recommend. You go on the South Fork to Montauk. How many have ever heard of Montauk? One person. Okay, it's supposed to be the fishing capital of the world on the South Fork. How many have heard of the Hamptons? The Hamptons, okay? That's 20 minutes south of where I am. That kind of gives you the idea of the area. You could go from Montauk, which is an hour and a half, on the South Fork. There's nothing on the South Fork you could recommend. In all of Suffolk County, with 1.5 million people, there's several gospel preaching churches, but as far as solid Baptist churches, there's less than five, probably maybe three, in all of Suffolk County. Nassau County, there's a couple. They also have about 1.5 million people. Pray, there's a Heartland graduate who's praying about coming up and starting a church on Long Island in Suffolk County, and we've been praying for that, and we're praying that God will lead and direct in his way on that. But what is the prayer of that? That we can participate, that Community Baptist Church could help be established enough to be able to help this other church get started. Why? Because there is a tremendous need for the work of God to go forward. That's why things need to be put right and things need to stay right. Because if we don't stick with sound doctrine, we don't stick with what God has said, we're stepping off the authority of God's word, and we're never going to be able to participate. We're never going to be able to have the place in the mission that God has called us to do. Because it's important to be where we need to be biblically so we can fulfill the role that God has called us to do. There is a purpose that God has placed us on this earth for. There is a greater mission, and that is to take the gospel of Jesus Christ and preach it to every creature. There's a greater need to put out more door hangers, to put out more tracts, to invite more people to church. Just to tell somebody, Jesus loves you, but He loves you so much He wants to save your soul. He wants to change your life completely. They're just talking about, there's countless Spanish people, Spanish-speaking people, the farms and vineyards. There's a great influx of Guatemalan Central Americans that are up there in on the North Fork. Most of them speak almost no English whatsoever. There is very much the Spanish-speaking culture and that community, and then there's the English-speaking community. We need to see the Lord provide us with the ability, and we're praying that either with translating services or starting another service or some way to be able to begin reaching out and helping, and we're praying for the Lord to do that. But the mission that God has given Community Baptist Church reaches far beyond just Riverhead. It's the world. The mission that God has given Bethel Baptist Church. You're participating in what is going on in Riverhead by supporting us. That is part of the work of the church. It's not just here. We need to have things in order so that we can be fruitful helping others serve God. There's much more to do. There's things that are beyond our power to do. But when we keep things in the order that God has set, that allows us to be able to have the place in the ministry that God wants us to do. And the church is to be zealous about helping others who are serving the Lord. Now, there's plenty of people who want help that we can't help, because they're not doing it the Bible way. We need to do it according to sound doctrine. Not what we do here is what they need to be doing over there. But the purpose, the reason why we need, and I'm saying this again and again, but we go through the whole book of Titus. He's saying, get things in order, keep things in order, so we can help others. So we can help other churches get started. So we can help other missionaries get sent forth. So we can help the work of God go here and there and everywhere. But we have to get things and keep things the way they need to be. I am so thankful for my dad who came in. And he made it possible for me to move in and be able to become the pastor. If my dad hadn't come in and chased off some of the people that were killing the church. I'm not trying to be unkind, but if you have people in leadership who don't believe sound doctrine, you're not going to be able to do what God has called you to do. And so I am so thankful for the role. And by the way, I'm on my phone with my dad constantly. And hey, what? Why? Because I need influence and I need to make sure that I'm staying right and make sure that I'm doing things the right way. Pray for us. Brother Weaver read our missionary letter just on Wednesday night, and we talked about the funeral service that we were able to have there at the church, and we had way more people than we normally have that were there, but the Lord just blessed, and the lady whose husband got sick, whose husband passed away, she was out to eat. They have the veterans meet every month, and just the local VFW there, and they go out to breakfast once a month, and what they were talking about was the funeral service. Man. And they were saying, that preacher says something different. Miss Louise said things that I just want to stop back and say, praise the Lord. She said, Pastor Andrew doesn't tell us anything. He tells us the Bible, and the Bible tells us things. And I'm like, that's, praise the Lord. I mean, somebody's listening. Why? There's people that need the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we need to keep moving forward, and we need to make sure we're preaching it, because if we preach it right, then we have the power of God in the Word of God that can help lives get changed for this purpose, so we can keep reaching out. and keep doing what God has called us to do. We need to have things in order so we can be fruitful in helping others serve God. That's true at Bethel Baptist Church. That's true at Community Baptist Church. And our prayer is we can get things established so that more work can be done for Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the privilege of serving you and the work and the power of your word. We just pray that you would help us to be where we need to be so we can see you work. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Pastor.